Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. Please be sure to mention the podcast to your friends who might be interested in it. Word of mouth is our best form of advertisement. This week, Rabbi Schweiger discusses Parshat Balak. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Balak. In our parsha, Bil'am, the quintessential non-Jewish prophet, is commissioned by Balak to curse the Jewish people. I would like to re-examine his character. And let us begin with a verse which appears in the book of Joshua, chapter 13, verse 22. And I'm not going to read the verse, but I just want to note, how is Bil'am referred to? Bil'am is called Bil'am HaKosem. In modern Hebrew, the word Kosem means a magician. Interestingly, he is not referred to as Bil'am the prophet. The word Kosem, or a related word, comes up in our parsha. This is in chapter 22, verse 7. A delegation is sent to Bil'am by Balak the king. And it says, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian went with ksamim in their hands, which is usually translated as some type of magical charms. What exactly is this ksamim or kesem? Before I answer that question, I would like to look at another verse which appears in our parsha. Very interestingly, before Bil'am gives his third blessing to the Jewish people, the famous blessing which we know, Ma Tovu Ohalecha Yaakov, it says in chapter 24, verse 1, when Bil'am saw that it was good in the eyes of God to bless the Jewish people, he did not go, as he did in the previous times, towards Nechashim. Rather, he set his face towards the desert. And when he lifted up his eyes in verse 2, and saw the Jewish people dwelling according to their tribes, there rested upon him the Spirit of God. If earlier we spoke about kisamim, now we speak about nechashim that Bil'am is seeking. But in the last blessing, instead of seeking out the nechashim, he lifts up his eyes and the Spirit of God rests upon him. Before I answer the question, what are the nechashim? What are the ksamim? I would like to look at two verses which appear in two other books of the Chumash. The first is a verse from Leviticus, the book of Vayikra, chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 26. The Torah says, do not eat upon the blood. Lo tenachashu, lo teonenu. There is an explicit prohibition of engaging in nichush, of engaging in inun, ayin vav nun nun. Later on, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 9, Moshe says to the Jewish people, you are coming to the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Do not learn to do according to the abominations of those nations. Let there not be found among you someone who passes his son or daughter through the fire. But what is important to us, kosem kisamim, me'onen minachesh michashef, which means that the Torah in this verse is prohibiting not only lo tenachashu, lo teonenu, but kosem ksamim, mechashef. And it goes on to say in verse 12, because all of these things, all of the people who do these things are an abomination to God. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. And then verse 13 says, Tamim tihyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. Tamim Tiyeh could be translated as be perfect, or it can be translated as be innocent. I will come back to that in a moment. What are these activities which the Torah is prohibiting us to do, and which evidently were common practices among the Canaanites? And not only the Canaanites, but among many people of the ancient world, including Bil'am. Let us start with Lo Tinachashu. In the Midrash Halacha, it says, what is a menachesh? Someone who says, a piece of bread has fallen from my mouth, a staff has fallen from my hand, a snake has passed me by on my right side, a fox on my left side. And as a result of these actions, I will refrain from doing something. That is what is called nichush. In other words, people who see ominous signs, one might even say people who seek out ominous signs, and on that basis decide to either do or not do something. And perhaps I would add to that, it may very well be that they are ominous, but it may also be that there are signs which are positive, good luck charms. But the point which is being made is the idea that I see a sign, or even worse, seek out a sign, and on that basis decide whether to act or refrain. That is nichush. What is kosem? I translated earlier kosem as being a magician, but Maimonides has a different understanding of what kosem is. And this brings us back to Bil'am. Kosem is somebody who is able to focus on something. And by focusing on something, by engaging in hitbodedut, by somehow isolating myself from the reality around me, by somehow removing myself from this world, I am somehow able to plug into some transcendent reality. I am able to actually have flashes of things that will happen in the future. And in fact, Maimonides goes on to say that there is such a thing as kosem, as someone who is able to somehow, by focusing, probably the best analogy nowadays would be the idea of looking at a crystal ball. By focusing somehow, you can plug into some higher reality. And as I said, get glimpses of certain events. Yet nevertheless, Maimonides says, these are only glimpses. There's never a full picture. Bil'am is described as a kosem. Given Maimonides' definition, Bil'am is someone who is somehow able, through contemplation, to somehow see another reality, to have flashes of that reality, to be able to look into the future. The Torah prohibits nichush and kesem. And why? And perhaps here it is important to note, these are features that characterize prophets in the ancient world. And as I said earlier, Bil'am is the quintessential non-Jewish prophet. What is the role of the prophet? The prophet is supposed to be a soothsayer, a fortune teller, to look into the future. Towards what end? It is important to realize that this is part of a much larger theology, a theology that sees that what happens in the world is fate, fate which is random, fate which can be very frightening and overwhelming, fate which in the end makes me feel helpless and powerless. The idea of seeking out omens or of somehow glimpsing into the future is an attempt to give me control over my fate rather than all of a sudden be victimized. If I know what's about to happen, then maybe I can somehow avoid it. The Torah tells us, Tamim tihyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Be simple with the Lord your God. In the book of Deuteronomy. And perhaps before I explain it, maybe let me actually look at a verse which appears in our parsha, in the second blessing which Bilam gives to the Jewish people. Bilam is taken to a place which is called State Sofim. This is chapter 23, verse 21. He did not see iniquity in Jacob. He did not see toil in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the sound of the trumpet of the king is in him. God took them out of Egypt. And now verse 23. For there is not Nachash in Yaakov, nor Kesem in Yisrael. At this moment, it is being told to Jacob and Israel what God is doing. It is very interesting that Bilam acknowledges that the reality of the Jewish people is antithetical to the whole concept of Nachash and Kesem. These are alien to the Jewish people. The Jewish people do not need these things. Why? Because the Jewish people at every moment know that God is in their midst, know what God is doing. If we take it on one level, Bilam is saying the Jews don't need these charms, these instruments that can somehow give them glimpses of the future, because they can actually have it all laid out before them by the God who's in their midst. But there is something else here which is much more profound. And as I said earlier, Nachash and Kesem are part of a whole theology, part of a whole world outlook. What is the world outlook of the Jewish people? What is the role of the prophet of the Jewish people? In another podcast, we contrasted Bilam with Moshe. Moshe also tells the Jewish people, at the end of Deuteronomy, all kinds of things which are going to happen in the future. But there is a major difference. Moshe's point is to warn the people. This is something, these are things which can happen, which may happen, if you worship idols, if you abandon God. The purpose of the prophet is to somehow cement the bond between God and the Jewish people, to encourage the people to actualize the covenant. In the pagan world, if I get a glimpse of the future, the way that I avoid a horrendous future is through ingenuity, through cunning, not through a transformation of my personality, not through adopting transcendent behavior. There is an expression which appears in the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, which says, Ein mazal li Yisrael. The Jewish people are not governed by astrological signs. And there's a fascinating story which is told of Rabbi Akiva, who in discussions with the Chaldean astrologers was told that his daughter would die on the day of her wedding. And Rabbi Akiva experienced a certain trepidation the day his daughter was married. On the following day, his daughter came before him and said, I put a hairpin in the wall, and this morning when I took it out, it came out with a snake. And Rabbi Akiva understood that this snake was supposed to have killed his daughter. And he said, what did you do yesterday that somehow averted this tragedy? And his daughter goes on to explain him how in all the hubbub of the wedding, a poor person came and needed to be fed, and no one had time to tend to him. And she, the bride, saw to it that he was fed. And from this we learn, Staka tatzil mimavet. Charity saves us from death. The point of this story is that we cannot guide our lives by looking into the future and thinking that if we know what will happen, we can somehow find all kinds of subterfuges to get around our destiny, our fate, excuse me. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Be innocent, be simple with the Lord your God. What is that saying? Tamim tiyeh. This is the same message which God gave Abraham in the covenant he made with him of Brit Milah. Hitalech lefanai veheye tamim. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Walk before me and be perfect, or be simple. Our role as Jews is not to seek out signs, not to try to forecast the future. Our role is to focus on the present, to focus on the covenant which we have, which needs to be actualized. What does God ask of me? How do I transform myself into a much better person? This, in fact, is the strength of the Jewish people. Our strength is not in charms and what nowadays would be called quick fixes. Our strength is in our ability to, on a day-to-day basis, challenge ourselves, perfect ourselves, and in so doing, perfect the world. Hence, Bil'am, when he says that there is no Nachash in Israel, in Jacob, or Kesem in Israel, in the very next verse, says this is a people that go up as a lioness, that lift themselves up as a lion. There is a majesty about us. We do not live in a state of fear and terror and somehow need to seek out omens in order to be able to empower ourselves. Because we have the presence of God in our midst, and according to Rav Samsel Raphael Hirsch, Utruat Melech Bo, we subordinate ourselves to God. That subordination to God is in fact what empowers us. This is the strength of the Jewish people. This is what enables us to confront difficult situations and to overcome them. Not because we know that we have guarantees that we will triumph, but because we know this is what we need to be doing. This is our calling. This is our destiny. For one moment, perhaps, Bil'am realizes what separates him from the Jewish people, and hence, he's able to then receive a divine revelation where the Spirit of God rests upon him. In our own world, there are many people who feel that we live in a world of chaos, of randomness, of people who would like to somehow predict the future, and who try to find all kinds of schemes to overcome those fears. Perhaps the message of our Torah is that we have to learn to be different than the world around us, to not look for signs, to not try to get glimpses of the future, to not seek simple, facile solutions in order to guarantee our existence. The way to do it is to walk before God, to confront ourselves, to work on ourselves. And as I mentioned earlier, by perfecting ourselves, we perfect the world. By perfecting ourselves, that is what in fact gives us our dignity. That's what enables us, as in the Bracha of Bil'am, to raise ourselves, lift ourselves up as a lion, and on that basis, to be able to defeat those seeking our destruction. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always important to us, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.